a lot of times, as a preacher, especially with the power of this morning's service, mostly due to God, let's just say all due to God, but we bring our gifts and talents to bear, right? The first thing that comes to my mind is, golly, Lord, let me go in there and preach again like that tonight, you know? But then I remember saying we're going to be in James for the next few Wednesdays and Sundays. And God ultimately comes back down on this side of it. He would rather you be mature than for you to feel a certain way. Amen? Let me say it this way. He'd rather you be a mature Christian with a lot of fundamentals than a lot of feelings. Amen? Out of your fundamentals, your feelings will come to a good place. Did you understand what I just said there? Let me explain it this way. The greatest fundamentals of any kind of activity, if you learn the fundamentals of it, it'll lead to greatness. Amen? Like a baseball. If you keep on practicing the fundamentals, eventually in a game, those fundamentals are going to come through, and you're going to make a great play, and everybody's going to go, woo, and the team's going to run off, and they're going to celebrate and get a trophy and all that, right? Okay, so what I want you to understand is, that is what God wants you to do, is learn great, strong fundamentals in the Word of God. Amen? And tonight I've got about four or five different messages that I believe I could have came in here and we'd all left out here going, woo, man, hallelujah, praise God. And some of y'all right now are going, I wish you'd do that. And then God keeps resigning back to me, is telling me to preach James chapter 3. So I'd rather preach James chapter 3, and I really not care how you leave out of here. Amen? I want you to go out great, but I want you to go out knowing that I'd rather be obedient to God than for us to be praised or anything else like that. I gave y'all enough time to find James chapter 3 and then some. If I didn't, just repent. Amen. James chapter 3 is at near the end of the book. It starts out with my brethren. Are y'all seeing that? Now I'm going to cut through these first two or three verses for you, because the King James is an awesome, it's the best. I preach out of King James. I just do. It's old dog, new, no tricks. It's just the way I do, right? I'm an old dog, no new tricks. Okay. But I want to kind of explain these verses. They're not hidden for anybody's interpretation. They're really strong if I explain them just a little bit more than what the King James does right here. Don't be mad at me. Don't meet me out here and say, you ruining, I ain't doing nothing. I'm just telling you what it means. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. When I read that, sometimes I'm like, what does that mean? Can I explain to you what it says? Look, don't everybody try to be a teacher, because teachers will come under a greater condemnation. Does that make sense to you now? Now listen, while this comes into a place where it's talking about your tongue and your mouth and your words and what's coming out of your mouth, is because this in James chapter 3, I'm going to try to teach it this way tonight, is really not about cussing people out. Amen? If you're cussing people out, you got a heart problem. Amen? And you need to work that out between you and God, and you need to get your heart right in that area. Okay? This is a little bit different. This is talking about how you talk to yourself, how you teach others, and be careful. This first verse is this. Be careful. You better make sure and know for sure that God's called you to teach this word. Because if you teach this word and you lead somebody down the wrong path and you say the wrong thing, then guess what? Yep. They're going to hear it, and they're going to do what they're going to do, but you are going to be accountable for what you said. Now listen, I'm going to pull that back down to what? Not accountable to everybody else. God will hold you accountable. That's why, to me, when somebody says, I am nervous, I am worried, and I am scared to preach or teach that, or because I want to make sure that this is God and not me, because if I say something and everybody else runs with it, then God's going to lay me out in front of him and say, you led them here. Now, they're accountable for what they heard and what they did, but you're accountable even more because you taught it. Now, did y'all get that understanding? Because that's not just cussing people out. That's be careful. That's be careful. I have sat in meetings. I have been to preaching meetings where one preacher gets up and preaches eternal salvation and one guy gets up right behind him and preaches, you lose your salvation. I'm being honest. I've been there, and I was sitting there going, and the same people was amazing to me. Have to come, have to be, yeah, praise God, amen. Next guy gets up, praise God, amen. I'm sitting there going, whoa, we have just diverged from doctrines here. I can't amen that. And matter of fact, they come to me right at the end of the service, hand me a microphone. Brother, do you want to say anything? I said, absolutely not. I can't add to the confusion. Y'all are preaching two different ways. And there's only one way. And if you really want to know where I stand tonight, you probably already know. I believe in eternal salvation. Once you're saved, once you're born again, you remain born in the Spirit for eternity. If you really want me to boil it down and say it like we say it, once saved, you're always saved. But you better make sure you're saved. Amen? That's the way I understand the Scriptures. So you're going to be held accountable. Y'all ready to move to verse 2 because it's a good verse? Y'all ready? God, we're going to grow up tonight. Not just grow up, but we're going to get older and more mature. Some of y'all are going mad at me right there. You saying we're not growing up? I'm probably one of the most immature people in here sometimes, so don't take that too hard. Hey, write Emmy's name down. For in many things, verse 2, for in many things we offend all. Can I give y'all a little bit better on that? In many ways we all stumble. Y'all right with that? In many ways we all stumble. Man, ain't you glad that's in there? In many ways we offend. In many ways we do things that we stumble and make mistakes. Are y'all good? Golly, I'm glad that's in there. I need that sometimes. If James wrote it, if somebody got to write the Bible, says we still stumble. Or we can offend and all, right? We can make some mistakes. But listen, I love what it does. For many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Golly, do you hear what I just said? It's okay. Listen, it's not saying okay that you offend or you stumble, but it's saying you are really almost as good or as perfect. Let's change that word perfect right there and put in the word mature. You're about as mature as you can get as a believer if you don't offend in word. Golly, man, y'all won't have altar call now. You know, can you hear that in your own spirit? Listen, I'm going to ask you to be real with yourself tonight. Sometimes you don't have to say it. Sometimes you can feel it. You can think it, but once it escapes your lips, you can't bring it back. Amen? Once you offend with your mouth, you can't get those words back, and you don't know how they're going to get delivered. Whew. You don't know how somebody's going to take those and what the platter they're going to put them on. Amen? But then when they come back to you and say, did you say this? Yeah, did. And no matter what context, you have to own it. Or you have to lie, and then you've compounded the situation. Amen? I like the word that perfect. It always means mature. If you can keep... Now listen, can I really teach y'all tonight? Don't hinder me right here on this teaching thing. I am not talking about pushing feelings down in your body. I'm not talking about that. But I am talking about when your flesh wants to say something to tear somebody else down. Are we clear what I'm talking about? Not that you've been hurt in some way and you can't share that. You're supposed to suppress. That's not it. And if you know you, I know me. I've got this thing that, man, that thing pops up and it comes out there on the tongue. And I am a gifted speaker. I'm not bragging. But, man, my mind and my tongue has gotten me in more trouble. Amen? Anybody else in here quick-witted and hate it sometimes? You've done cut somebody up and they're like, well, I didn't really mean it the way that came out. Amen? Okay, I want you to hear this. You've got, being mature, you've got to learn how to marinate your words in your mind before they get out. Chew on them. Marinate them. Think about it. And usually by that time, you'll realize, shouldn't say it. Amen? Now listen, I'm preaching. This is a message I need to hear about three times a year, and I'm going to be honest with you. This will be hard to do. I mean, goodness gracious, this ain't one of these things you're like, oh man, I got that one sermon from Kevin on Watch My Tongue. Boy, I'm good, man. I don't have to worry about that again. Man, I'm telling you right now, you can get in situations where you want to speak. Amen? You want to speak your mind. And usually that's a problem. I want to speak my heart. I want to speak my mind. No, you need to let those words, right? My brethren, be not many man. Oh, golly, verse 2. Verse 3. Behold, golly, this is good right here. Y'all ready? Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also ships, which though they be so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Small things turn big things. Amen? Like the small thing in your mouth turns your body, turns your life. Now, can I preach? Can I teach right here on a different level? This, listen, some of you in this room are going to have to practice if you want to mature, if you want to be a more mature Christian, if you want to be a better Christian, if you want to see God's blessing in your life and take you to another place with Him, you're going to have to learn how to speak to yourself and about others. Somebody make sure that door's loose because I'm going to have to get out of here tonight, I think. I'm going to be honest with you. What this is saying is we put bits in horses' mouths and you could have all the power in the world. You ever say, I'm not a big horse rider, but horses are awesome. They got so much power. They got so much speed, and they don't have any fear. I mean, you can ride a horse right slap into battle, and they will run all the way into it. Crowds don't bother them. I mean, they will go everywhere. A ship will drive. Some of these cutters that the Coast Guard have, they will drive through storms, through ice, through waves that are 20 feet high, and they will show up. And the only thing is steering them is that little rudder. And they have got tremendous power. I want to tell you this. God has tremendous power in your life. He wants to do great things with you, but you keep taking the ship and turning it in a different direction. I hate to tell you, some of you have got it locked down and you're just running in big old circles because you keep talking yourself out of blessing and favor and places that God wants to take you because you won't shut up. God. Amen. I want you to hear it. God's like, get off that broken record. Quit speaking death on people. Quit calling them what it is. And quit in your own head degrading yourself. Because all you're doing is you got this thing locked and you're just spinning in circles like doing a donut spiritually. Because God can't break your words. And every time you come to church, you come to the altar, you get the Holy Ghost goosebumps, you shout, you praise, you read, and you hear a message, and you go, wow, that I'm going to do it. But the very minute you get out of here, something happens, and you open your mouth, and you say the same stuff you always say. And I'm still not talking about cuss words. If you think I'm talking about cuss words, you got a heart issue. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I'm just talking about how you talk about other people to yourself and to others. Because you might not think anybody else hears it, but God hears it. And God ain't going to bless a mess. Amen? He is not going to sit there and go, I'll let you run this person down, talk about them, just wear them out in your mind. Because when you're saying it in your mind, you're saying it. The best thing you need to start doing is talk to God about it and stop rewording that broken record. Matter of fact, just do something odd. Instead of saying what you got to say about that, say something totally opposite. Instead of cursing them, how about blessing them? And see if your life don't take another turn. I'm doing better preaching than y'all are letting on. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I need to hear this too. I've got a little old track record runs in here every once in a while, and it just get on a loop play. Man, a song sounds good when you first hear it, right? You ever hit a number one hit? Like, Ache You, Break Your Heart. Yeah, okay, everybody, I called every group in here knows Ache You, Break Your Heart. Man, that was a number one hit at one time. But after about the 400th time, somebody Ache You, Break You the record. Amen? Let's Ache You, Break You the radio. He's got another song out. I don't know if you know it. No, I was kidding. Sorry. But guess what? In about a year from now, somebody will want to break the radio on that one too. Amen? Y'all good? That's good, isn't it? But I want y'all to see. I had to look at my new generation. They're like, yeah, I got you. But I just want you to see this. Is, man, you've got to learn to listen to yourself. Because God wants, listen, I hope y'all don't miss this. Every person in here, you can be a powerful person for God. God didn't make anybody in here. He wants to use you to your optimum, to your best. But what he's saying is sometimes, even though God wants to use you, you're turning the ship because you're letting this thing be the rudder and you're driving. And we talk about this all the time. Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus, do this. No. He can't drive what you won't let him drive. Even so, look at this, verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire can kindle. Man, have you ever had this experience? Have you ever just let it burn just for a second? I remember when I was a kid, we lived next to a big open field. A couple open big acreages, fields, just grass fields, had cows in them. And one time my parents left, so I got the great idea that I would take the gas can out and just to see what, you know, if I just pour a little gas on the ground to see what it'd do in like August. You know, I just wanted to burn a little circle in the ground, you know, with nobody there. So I poured the gas on the ground, about a half a can. I thought that should be plenty. So then I get down, and back then we didn't have lighters. Well, we did, but we weren't. We had a big box, you know, the big house box of matches. You know, unsupervised Kevin. I got about 2,000 tries on this baby, right? And I'm serious. I'm sitting there, I'm striking them, I'm throwing them, and it's like nothing's happening. I'm hitting right in the center. I'm like, all right, nothing happening. And then on that, about the fifth one, boof. And that baby ran across that field faster than I could do anything. And the next thing you know, my neighbors, which we're living in a country, we're good ways off, had called the fire department. The fire department came out there, and their trucks and everything trying to get this thing before it gets to the woods. And the woods is, you know, we're East Tennessee. So I'm like, wow, this has been an experience. I have really learned something here. This is not what you do with gasoline. You don't put it on the open field. It just burns right across through there. Well, you know, that the law enforcement don't really care if you've learned a lesson or not. And so I got State Highway Patrol and the Polk County Sheriff's Department and the fire chief standing in my front yard asking me where my mom and him are. Right? And I'm like, well, they went to the grocery store. They'll be back in a couple of hours. So what were you doing? I said, well, this is what happened. And at first he said, are you stupid? I said, yeah. I said, but I want to see what happened. And, you know, I couldn't contain the fire. It went so fast. He goes, well, Yeah. Well, then my parents do come home. Apparently, somebody in a small town at the grocery store told them the fire department, police, is everybody at your house. This is before cell phones. Well, here they are. They come whipping in like, you know, the police are standing in your front yard in the middle of the 80s, you know. So they pull in, and they're like, you know, my mom and my stepdad, and they're like, what happened? And I'm sitting over there going, you wouldn't believe this. This gasoline, I'm an idiot, man. And I'm thinking, man, no way they're going to whoop me with these folks around, right? And they did. My mom didn't. She was really, I mean, she was like, I understand, officer. We will take care of it. My stepdad's like, yeah, he's a fine young man. Don't worry, we'll take care of it. And I'm thinking, man, who are these people? This is awesome. As soon as those police left, before they got out of sight, I caught the beating of a lifetime. I mean, I think I got hit with every stick that we had in our backyard. And I deserved it. Amen? I deserved it. Because what had happened is I had let fire loose. And once fire gets loose, you can't catch it. It'll do so much damage. And the reason they were whooping me and the reason the people showed up is because once fire gets out, it's going to it can't stop until it gets everything. That's how your words work. That's how your words work. You say them, and as innocent as you might think they sound, when you hurt somebody else, especially as a believer, soon as they leap out of your mouth, you can't catch where the fire's going to go. You won't be able to say, well, I don't want them to hear it. Just keep this between us. I hate to tell you this. Nobody likes to keep good stuff behind their teeth and lips. They don't. They want it out. They let the fire spread. And you do damage. Verse 6. And the tongue, listen to how serious the Word of God says it is. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, golly bum, and setteth to the fire of course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Did you see that, what it just said? It defileth the whole body. Can I be honest? Can I just be real with you? I mean, can I be real with you as a pastor to a church? I want to be real with you. You can ruin your testimony in one statement. You can ruin your testimony in a couple of words to somebody out there. And you know what? Some word in here too. When I was getting ready for this, I was thinking, man, the way you talk, the Bible says this, you'll be accountable for every idle word. You know what idle is where your car usually runs. You know, you can rev up the engine or you can slow it way down, but usually where it runs, that's where you talk. Guess what? How your words come out, and how people hear them is how they think of you, and you can't change that. I don't care if in your mind and in your heart you're wanting to be the best Christian you can be. You're wanting to do stuff great for God. But if you've got a word problem and you like to carve people up and you like to say things and you like to murmur and complain and cut other people down and belittle people and say, guess what? I'll guarantee you, you won't be used greatly by God. And you walk around, you'll be, oh God, I hate preaching like this sometimes. You'll be walking around going, I wonder why God ain't using me. Because I can't. Ain't nobody wants to take a chance on it. Whew. Setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Man, oh, what does that mean? How did we get there? Have you ever heard the road to hell is paved with good intent? I think it's paved with good words. Well, I mean, with bad words, bad thoughts, bad things you say. Amen? And I'm still not talking about cursing. If you believe I'm talking about cursing, you have a heart issue. And you need to repent of that and ask God to help you. You wonder why I keep saying that. Amen? Because guess what? If you've got a cursing issue, that means you've got a sin issue. Amen? You need to bring that to God and say, God, help me wash my mouth out. And while you're washing my mouth out, reach down there and grab my heart and wash it too. Amen? And when I mean heart, I mean your mind. Amen? Hope y'all getting that. But you never sound, golly bum, you never sound more like Satan than when you're talking opposite of what God's talking. Amen? When you're saying the things opposite of what God, I believe with all my heart, your conversation, I'm not talking about your conversation when you're ultra spiritual, when you're, oh, golly, I hate being saying that. When your conversation can win people to the Lord if you do it right. Your everyday conversation. What I mean by that, let me show you this. I've got a man in my life, his name's Pastor Bobby Timms. And I'm about to give you a testimony about Bobby Timms in one word, in one sentence. You want it? I've never heard Pastor Bobby Timms say a bad word about anybody. I have heard people say things about him that are awful. And when he has the opportunity to rebut that statement, he would say, I'll be praying for them, and God bless them, and God help them. And I'm sitting here going, How you doing that? Amen? Are you good? That's what God's looking for. Could you imagine if you were in the presence of a lost person and somebody came to you and they're setting somebody on fire with their words and they heard you say, why don't we just pray for them and let's not talk about them? I'm just giving you, could you imagine what that person would do? They would probably walk away going, how in the world do you do that? How do I get a hold of that? How can I tap into that right there? And with that, you can tell them. You can tap into that. It's getting saved and having a heart change and Christ saving you. Can I ask y'all a question? Just answer this. You know, it's a rhetorical question. Did you ever say any dumb stuff before you got saved? Did you ever say some dumb stuff about God before you got saved? Man, I've got some doozies out there about God. You know what God did? He absorbed them. And you say, how do you know he absorbed them? We're standing here. He didn't shoot me down, didn't let me die. We're here. Amen? We got saved. Sometimes you got to let somebody, you got to absorb some stuff. Amen? Because people are waiting to hear your words. Man, I'm about to get into something right here. Somebody needs to see you irritated and you not get angry and use words. Somebody needs to see you get talked about bad and you refer to them in a good way, in a good light. Somebody needs you not to respond the way you always respond out of your feelings and your words. Maybe the people that you say, I'm trying to lead this person, Lord, and I want this person to get saved. Maybe they're waiting just to see something different. The fruit of your mouth will be different. I remember when I first realized that I really wanted salvation. I mean, really, really, really wanted it. Is watching my dad and my stepmom. It wasn't some great message they preach. It was, I just watched them and said, man, they got peace that we don't have. That's all I said. I just looked at them and said, hey, they got something we don't have. You know, if you got peace in your heart and it's coming out of your mouth, people are going to recognize that. Amen? Look at this. Therefore, we bless. Oh. Verse 7. For every kind of beast and bird of the serpents and of things of the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therefore we bless God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Did you see where that is? We bless God, but then we curse people. We bless God and we curse people. And what I'm talking about is you're speaking death into their life. They're never going to get saved. They're never going to get right. They're never going to change. They're never, 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 right? What are we doing? We're cursing them. But you will come in here and say, oh, God can save anybody. God can heal anybody. God can fix anybody. God save me. God reach me. God help me. Yeah, except that guy over there. He ain't going to touch him because he's a, or her. Amen. Preachers, pretty good preaching. Verse 10, out of the mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Doth a fountain send forth the same place sweet water or bitter water? No. How many times would you go to a fountain? Answer this question. How many times would you go to a fountain if you went to that fountain and you drank out of it and one time it was bitter salt water and one time you went it was fresh water? Amen? The first time I got that bitter, nasty water, amen? I'd be like, oh, I can go back over there. That's a mess, right? But then you find another place to drink from in that same place. Well, let me tell you this. You are the fountain. You are the fountain. And you wonder, sometimes somebody come and get a drink from you. They're looking. I mean, they're looking to you and they're saying, hey, that's a Christian. That's a believer. They go to Flat Top Church and they run to you because they're thirsty and they get to you and they're like, give it to me. And all of a sudden, you're a different kind of fountain than they thought because you're having a conversation that they're sitting there going, whoa, I thought come and see. I thought y'all were seeing souls saved and lives changed and anybody can come there. I thought the Spirit of God was falling in that place. And I hear you're cutting people and you're hurting people. And you're saying stuff that you shouldn't be saying. Amen? As a believer, you're hurting. That ain't God speaking. How many times do you think you're going to come back for a drink? You'd be blessed if they do. Maybe you just haven't back, but man, I'd be blessed if they do. They don't have to. I wouldn't. Too many times. Amen? You got to be careful. I've got to be careful with my words. And I'm still not talking about cursing. I'm just talking about how you think. Can I go? I'm going to say right here. You might be justified. You might have some justification in what you're saying. You might have got your feelings hurt. You might think, man, I'm right. Sometimes it don't matter if you're right if you're going to do harm. Can I preach just a little bit on it? Yes, preacher, preach on. David had Saul dead to rights a couple of times. Amen? I mean, he had him dead to rights. And he was not God's king anymore, and he was doing everything wrong. And if he could have killed David, he would have killed him. But David found him in two vulnerable positions twice and could have took his life. And you know what he did? He said, this is God's anointed. I can't touch him. Amen? I'm justified. I can, and people know that I'm right. People probably encouraged him. Do it. I can't. This is not my position to do this. Amen? It's the same thing with us. You say, well, I'm not going to put my mouth on God's anointed, God's man. Listen, I hate to tell you this. If you're talking about Christians, we're all God's anointed. We're all God's children. Amen? So don't just because, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. How would you feel if somebody was talking about your kid and you heard about it? That's how God feels. Amen? That's how God feels. I'm going to go ahead and finish right here. It's a good way to end it. Doth the fountain send forth the same place, sweet water and bitter? Verse 12, listen to this. This is the most easiest way there is. God's word is simple. It's easy. It's not overcomplicated. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? The answer to that question is no. Either a vine, figs. No. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh water? You hear what he just said? He said it's a simple fruit deal. If it's a banana tree, don't look for apples. Amen? If it's a grape tree, don't look for figs. Amen? What he's saying is, you might want to realize and change and get your heart right with the Lord before you keep talking. Because guess what? You are what you're putting out there. You are what you're putting out there through your mouth. Amen? Oh, goodness, that hurts. It's not big theology. You can do all the things you want to do in the physical. You can wash people's clothes. You can raise money. You can feed the homeless. You can do a lot of things. But if you're constantly speaking and leading people in the wrong direction and hurting people with your words, you are what you're speaking. Amen? You are what you're speaking. What God wants you to do is stop that. Some of y'all need to practice. Doesn't mean you're not saved. You just need to practice. God, give me some opportunities. This could be your prayer for tonight and this week. God, give me some opportunities where I normally react by talking this way in my spirit and out loud. Let me do something different. Let me speak differently. And you know what? I know for a fact this ain't running the aisles and big old goosebumps and Everest leading and go, man, that's the best message you ever preached. Do you know what this is? Application-wise. You can put this and install it in your life. And you know who's going to be better for it? You and the people you're trying to minister to. Let's all stand.